I'm back with my brother Mark, and we're going to just continue our conversations about the goodness of God. And we introduced Jesus and tied this theme into Jesus as the ultimate expression of God's goodness made manifest to human last week. And like we talked about last week, we want to spend some good quality time on this scene. We don't want to rush into other things. I don't even know where you could rush after Jesus. I think all that we did kind of built up to taking in God's goodness in Jesus.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's a beautiful story and beautiful account in Scripture of God's love for us in sending Jesus, his son in the flesh, to reveal him to us. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. What we're going to do this week is look at some of the words and the teachings that he spoke to his disciples, to the crowds, and that he continues to speak to us today. And as we get into it, I want to start in Psalm 107 with a few verses that speak to the word that God sent for humankind. So this is Psalm 107. And I'm going to start in verse number 10. Some set in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Verse 17, some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food and drew near to the gates of death. Again, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. This is how he does it. Verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And then I want to back up and just look at verse 9 as we move toward the first words of Jesus we're going to talk about. Because in verse 9, I started after this because I just wanted to kind of like highlight this. He satisfies the longing soul. He satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul, he fills with good things.
Wow.
So the goodness of God. Those who are longing at their deepest level. Those who are hungry at the deepest level for the good things that God can provide. He fills them.
Yes.
He fills them.
Yes.
He delivers them. And he does it specifically in verse 20 by sending out his word to heal and to deliver from destruction.
What a great series of verses those are. I mean, it is such a reality of the way that God, the way that of our condition, and the way that God is willing to respond to it if we seek him out. I mean, it said that those people were in darkness, in prison, in chains, and they were desperate and they were calling out for help. And God came and sent them his word, his revelation. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exactly what has happened in the fullness of time. He has sent Jesus, and Jesus is called the Word, is referred to as the Word in many instances in the Bible. And he has brought revelation to a sick, dark, and dying world.
Yeah, just think about John 1:1.
The Word
in the
was
beginning
God.
Was the Word.
Yeah,
and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going to look at is the Beatitudes, Matthew 5. And I think we'll see this idea from Psalm 107 come up over and over in the Beatitudes. The longing soul that he satisfies, the hungry soul that he fills. So let's read it and let's talk about it.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yes.
Okay. We'll just start with the Beatitudes, and that'll be what we look at for our time right now, today. Matthew 5, verse 1. I might even back up to chapter 4, verse 23, just to get kind of the full, I don't know how far we need to back up to get the full context, but just to see the crowds that Jesus is seeing in chapter 5, verse 1. So here's the crowds in chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain and he sat down. His disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Wow. So Jesus comes and he begins healing all these diseases, just diseases that you would never think, especially in that time, could have possibly been dealt with.
Even in this time.
Yeah. And so he's doing physical things. He's loosening the bonds of disease physically from people. But this is going to point toward a spiritual goal and purpose that Jesus has to release us from eternal darkness and to reveal and bring us to reconciliation with God and eternal life.
You talk about the gravity of those who needed healing. What stands out to me is the paralytics. And because I worked in spinal cord injury research for 4 years, just as like a therapist, trying to help them rehab. And the brightest minds, the brightest surgeons, the brightest researchers, all the best therapists, and I'm not including myself in that, you know, but all of the best minds in the world coming together to try to do what Jesus could do with his word, like it doesn't come close.
Right.
The most novel interventions that they've researched and found, like it's helpful. It might help regulate blood pressure. You know, it might restore a little bit of voluntary movement. But to tell somebody who's been paralyzed for years, whose muscles have atrophied for years on the spot to get up and walk. I mean, I've seen people rehab for years, and it's with man alone, it is not possible. Right now, it's not possible.
Yes.
So just, you know, that's what really speaks to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it shows, it really shows how far beyond us God is, how great and powerful that He is. We have knowledge, and we have increased our knowledge, and we've learned things, and we have struggled and improved medicine. But God is above and through everything, and able to cut through all issues because He is the Creator. And the same is true spiritually. We are insufficient with this physical life in curing all the wrongs and the diseases and the maladies, the struggles of humanity. But spiritually, I mean, if God is able to wipe out any disease on the spot immediately, then what does that say about God spiritually? What does it say about His way as opposed to ours? How would we think that we have the answers if He has sent the word? We need Him mm-hmm. desperately, and His word is the way to lift us out of this prison of darkness mm-hmm. That we are all have all been in.
Yeah, I like that you brought those two ideas together. That it took a man who also was Creator to be able to say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," mm-hmm. Or "Your sins are forgiven." You know, like be able to say both of those and provide complete, thorough healing physically and spiritually, because He created us. He can heal us at the deepest level.
How could you see the physical results and question the spiritual mm-hmm. that Jesus gave?
Yeah.
And, you know, his disciples, they saw so many miracles. But then at one point, I remember Him calming the storm, and they worshiped Him. He has saved their lives. But they realized that He is more than a healer, a physical healer. He is of God. He is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. He is deity.
Yep. Yes. So let's get into the Beatitudes.
Okay.
Sorry, I kind of took us on a tangent with the paralytic.
That's my life.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah, I'm happy we did. I was not planning on going there. But once you brought it up, I couldn't resist. Okay, so I want to talk about, because we're camping out, we're honing in on this theme of the goodness of God, and I want us to try to disentangle how the goodness of God is for those who mourn, is for those who are persecuted, are for those who are going to be reviled and have evil uttered against you on account of Jesus.
Yeah.
And to say that those people are blessed. So what does that mean to you? Like, blessed? How would you, if somebody asked you, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
How would you explain that?
I've heard in the past the word favor used.
Okay.
In the place of being blessed, mm-hmm. you have favor, which means good things, wonderful things even.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message. I think transformation of our hearts and our souls is what is going to happen if we take in this teaching and we yield to it. And so in our transformation, we become more godly, and therefore we become wise, and we become full of light. We gain peace. We learn patience, humility,
mercy, meekness.
Yeah. Yes, mercy, meekness. Yeah. So that changes us, and that's a blessing. That's a great blessing from on high. So if we conform to that and transform our hearts and souls through God's influence, then we are in His favor, and our lives are wonderful.
Okay. I like that. Favored are. It's kind of how you could maybe help make more sense of what's going on here. Favored are the poor in spirit. I think it fits. I think it fits. Because, you know, of the different terms I was playing with that could help people understand what's going on here, that's not one I'd thought of or read, and I really like it. Favored are the poor in spirit. Favored are those who mourn. Favored are the meek. I think it fits. Some of the other, like, more popular translations were that people are using right now are, like, flourishing. But I like this one, like, the good life, the wonderful life.
Mm-hmm. Thriving?
Yeah, thriving. So, like, the wonderful life or the wonderful things are for the poor in spirit. The wonderful life, the wonderful things are for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Amen.
I think that fits favor. I like how, just like kind of getting it back down to one word, you know? I like that. As long as we explain what we're talking about when we say favor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's go with it. Favored.
So if we're favored, then we're going to show favor. Blessed are the merciful. They mm-hmm. will obtain mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It is we who are transformed and receive that favor. We are serving God, not ourselves anymore. And because He is our God, not ourselves or money or some other source, He is our source. We yield totally to Him, and His favor is given and revealed to us. And we live in that favor. He abides, and we live in it. And that's our life,
mm-hmm.
and we share it.
And so we know, I think we would agree, there is no better thing in this life to live for.
Correct.
For that favor.
Yes. No better thing to ever have than that favor. No amount of money is worth more than that favor and that presence.
Yes. But how do we help other people see that? How do we help other people see that favor, like the highest quality of being, is going to be, it will involve persecution and revilement and, you know, some things that are hard to swallow.
Yes. It's hard to swallow for the world who sees us living. And that's the goal. We live it. And so we affect others because we are living His way. But many people don't understand it, and they're going to be rebellious and even angry
mm-hmm.
that we are trying to transform them. You know, they don't want to transform.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make sense to them, I guess.
Right.
In some cases.
Yeah, and even letting people know that it's not us who is doing any of the transformational process.
Yes.
You know, that We are.
Glad you said that.
We are lights to the God who does, and that's all we can really do is shine our light that I've, you know, and letting people know the things we've pursued. Yeah, I don't want to get too into my past, you know, but I've pursued a lot of things that I thought would be like the highest quality of life. And it did not work. It did not fulfill me at that deep, deep level, like the psalmist in Psalm 107 mm-hmm. is looking for, or speaking to.
Of those other pursuits, you follow them and go into them and you progress into it and it comes up short.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you what you really need.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I think that's what we have to witness to is like, we have to be honest with our confessions. Confessing that we, you know, and I think there's a place, an appropriate place to do that. I don't feel like this is the appropriate place for me to like lay out everything that I've pursued in the past and did not work out. You know, but I think there is a time and a place for that. There are people that I've laid that out for because I felt like it was needed. It mm-hmm. was, it was appropriate for that time and place. But being honest with the things we've pursued, looking for this highest quality of life, for this favor. I'm like feeling like you are a favored person here on earth.
Mm-hmm. And that way of life is so good and it's so right and so true.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing we have to witness to is how good this pursuit, how fulfilling and how making Jesus the Lord of your life and denying yourself for the sake of following him, even though that will come with persecution at times. And like, thankfully we live in a land where it's not as severe as other places in the world right now.
Yes.
It is very severe for our brethren in other places of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are really living this out to a higher degree than we are. But know that that is a possibility. That the pursuit of the true highest quality of life, God's favor, it comes through being poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you, because I like that it starts with that, poor in spirit. So if how would you describe or explain someone who is poor in spirit?
Yeah, to me, someone who is poor in spirit understands that they are impoverished, whether or not they're impoverished financially or physically. They have a spiritual poverty. There's something that they're missing and they're void of. There's an emptiness and a void in them. And oftentimes it's associated with hardship, mm-hmm. physical hardship. It's easier, I think, sometimes for someone who is in distress physically to seek God and see that there is not only physical help, but also spiritual riches mm-hmm. to be gained. But a person has to come to the notion that I'm separate from God. And I can't be that way. Mm-hmm. I need that.
Yeah. I like how you brought that idea up, that we have to acknowledge our emptiness and our desperation for something that will fill us.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes my mind back to where we started in Psalm 107, that he satisfies the longing soul. The hungry soul he fills with good things.
Mm.
that there is kind of this prerequisite for there is kind of this prerequisite of emptiness, of desperation, of mm-hmm. of wanting something better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that doesn't just end at baptism and at discipleship. Like, I think this is a quality that has to persist as we journey and disciple with Jesus.
Yes.
Like, do you still feel poor in spirit in any way? Is there a sense in which you would still say that you're poor in spirit? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. I go into poverty of spirit at times, for sure, and it reminds me that I need him. So, yes, and I know that I'm not as wise as I could be. So that's a poverty
mm-hmm.
of spirit. So I need to keep seeking. I need to keep every day seeking him.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, like, for me as well, like, in what ways do I still feel poor in spirit? Because he's poured out his spirit upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Joel says, you know, that his spirit will be poured out on all flesh, on all people. Has that happened? I think so. I mean, I think that's Acts
yes.
2. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's the end of Luke. That's how Luke closes and how Acts opens, mm-hmm. is Jesus breathing the spirit upon them, the spirit being poured out on humankind, on mankind.
Mm-hmm.
But I do still think that there is a sense of still, like, more desperation, more longing for better things.
Do you mean material things?
No. Thank you for qualifying.
Well, what I was thinking.
Thank you for qualifying.
What I was thinking is the continual battle of material,
okay.
of worldliness
okay.
in our lives.
Yes.
So, you know, the poverty that we realize when we do yield to worldliness, the poverty we have dropped back into, not that God has left us, but that we have walked backwards mm-hmm. from God, and we realize, wait a minute.
Yes.
This is not where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I need the Father.
Yeah.
I need the Son.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that you wrapped up into it the idea of temptation, kind of.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's another way that I definitely feel kind of poor in spirit, that, you know, wow, God has poured out his spirit on us through Jesus, that, I mean, I still feel tempted. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still sin. Like, I'm not going to be... say that I don't, you know, like, how that would be lying.
Yes.
So, like, while I have had the Spirit of God poured out on me through Jesus, like, I still long for the coming day.
Mm-hmm.
When God's Spirit, when God and our Lord who reigns over heaven and earth, establish their new kingdom in the fullest sense of the word,
mm-hmm.
like, it's been established, but
yeah. But
in the fullest sense of the word, where death and Satan, like, we've talked about this here, where they're not just defeated, but they're destroyed, and
yeah.
there's no longer temptation, there is no longer death,
mm-hmm.
There's no longer sin, and I think the wonderful life, the favored, are those who are poor in spirit, in the sense of they long for that. Like, they live for that day.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a perfect explanation of what we are involved in this world. We, through our faith, we have assurance of that hope that God has presented to us and has revealed to us and has promised us. We're not perfect at this time.
Mm-hmm.
There is not perfection at this time, but we are living and growing and seeking and becoming wise. But I fall short, and I realize it often. And it's good for me to get back to the Word. It's good for me to get back to my brothers and sisters who have also been transformed by the Spirit of God. And that uplifts me and leads me forward in His goodness,
mm-hmm.
and mercy, His grace, and His favor.
And I think you are speaking to the next verse. Blessed are those who mourn. Typically I've thought about this as like those who mourn, like the loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those who mourn when they do fall back into temptation? And those who are so gut-wrenched by it that they go to the one who can do something about it.
Yes.
Because like you said, we're not perfect. But if we keep going back to Him, if we keep mourning those times when we fail, you are still seen as holy, blameless, and above reproach before His Father.
Mm-hmm.
God
is always there.
And so be comforted. Yeah. You know, yes, that is the verse.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah. God is there, and He will receive you
with
open arms. That's His nature. That's His desire. For us, He loves us. So it's amazing to me that I can forget that sometimes,
mm-hmm.
that I have forgotten it many times, that great love He has for me. But then I realize it again, and I go, oh, what have I been doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know. But you get caught up in the world. You listen to political debates and all kinds of things, you know, and you get caught up in worldliness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you watch television.
Yeah.
Or any.
I mean, there's no shortage of things that you could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible that these are the first words of the greatest sermon ever presented.
Mm-hmm. And it really shocked the listeners, the Bible shows, because there had been no one like him who had ever taught them. And here's someone challenging their way of thinking and living in a spiritual way.
And in a gently confrontational way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not... He's being honest and direct and in the most gentle way.
Yes.
That's our teacher. That's our Lord.
And there were many people who they would hear Jesus say something, or He would talk to them about something, and then they would continually question, what do you mean? Are you saying this? And He would reveal a little deeper,
mm-hmm.
Where He was going. And those people were... really challenged to understand.
Yeah. I don't know if you realize you're doing this, but you're going through the Beatitudes as you talk. When you were talking about blessed are the meek, that they shall inherit the earth, like those who wrestle with those forces that are trying to get you to be pulled into this political conversation or be pulled into this, whatever form of distraction it is. And then you start talking about those who like want to know more. Teach us more, expound to us more. What do you mean by this? Like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Like, you will be satisfied. Keep hungering. Keep thirsting for revelation about what these words mean.
Mm-hmm.
You will be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Keep searching for the meaning. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's incredible if you weren't doing that intentionally, but you're going through them as you talk.
Okay. I wasn't, but yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Appreciate your comments.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these are the Beatitudes, and they will, like, starting here, and I think this is the section of the Bible Christians should spend their most time in, Matthew 5, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm. Is it Matthew 7 where he says, seek and you will find?
Yes.
Knock and the doors will be open.
7-7 is where it starts.
7-7.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our attitude. That's what our attitude should be. And if we do seek, if we do ask, if we have the meekness, if we have the hunger, we'll find
mm-hmm.
the answers. It will be given to us.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual gift of understanding.
Yes.
That will be given.
And, like, just sticking with the theme of this series on the podcast, like, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him,
mm-hmm.
To those who seek him, to those who are knocking. Good gifts. That's what he has for you.
So, Eric, is God willing to give us favor and good gifts?
Physically or?
In all ways.
I feel like you're...
No, it's not a trick.
Okay. You tell me what you're looking for.
Absolutely. Willing.
Okay.
Absolutely. He's watching for us.
Okay.
He wants us. He's reaching out to us, and he wants us to come. Absolutely. Totally. 1,000%.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mark. No, it's... And we'll continue. We're going to look at some more words of Jesus as we transition to the parables and look at some of our favorite parables and just kind of, you know, have this conversation and some other words that God gave us through Jesus to heal us and fill our soul.
Mm, wonderful.